Blog Talk Radio.
Keeping your business healthy in today's marketplace can be a challenging and overwhelming task. From the threat of litigation inside and outside your organization, and the inefficiencies that can rob your bottom line as a result of unproven marketing programs, the deck can be stacked against you. To get ahead of these challenges and stay ahead of your competition, the Bottled Business Sense Show provides practical business solutions that uniquely emphasize key legal principles, management techniques, and marketing strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. You'll learn how to implement marketing and protection principles equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Join your host, Bill Bernard, Rick Moscoso, and Steve Smith for some high-energy discussion that will inspire you to take control of your business so it can prosper in today's consistently challenging business environment.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Rick Moscoso here on the Bottled Business Sense Show. Today is Tuesday at our regular time here at 10 o'clock. I want to welcome everyone to the show this morning. Thank you for coming back. To our regular viewers, and if this is your very first time, I think you're in for a great treat. We are a couple of business people here, my co-hosts and myself, and we love to share information to our small business owners in regards to marketing tips and legal tips for your small business, and we share that to you for free. We feel that we want to give you the best information out there so you can make the right decisions for in regards to your marketing and protecting your business. And so, you know, Bill and I have been doing this for, gosh, coming up on 2 years. And we have an incredible library of previous episodes that you can always view at any time on our website at bottledbusinesssenseshow.com. We also broadcast on Blog Talk Radio for all you audio aficionados out there at blogtalkradio.com/bottledbusinesssenseshow. And you can find us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Google+. And if you're interested in contributing a topic or you just have interest in hearing about a topic or even want to be a guest on the show, you can always reach out to us at bottledbusinesssenseshow@gmail.com. So we want to welcome everyone here again to this episode. And on the other side, in tribute to my co-host out there on the in the middle of the ocean, I wore my Aloha shirt just to match his. I want to welcome Mr. Bill Bernard to the show. How are you doing today, Bill?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Rick. And yes, sir, that is quite a match. That is quite a shirt, I will say. It kind of just screams, hey, viewers, look at me. I can play a ukulele and do a show at the same time.
There you go.
But in any event, yeah, good to be back on the show. As Rick said, we're here to provide this information. This Bottled Business Sense Show is originated by way of a ship in a bottle theory, where the ship is the business and it sails along the sea and is protected by the bottle. And we try to offer you tips to make your business prosper and have it protected along the way at the same time. And we're all over social media. We're on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, and we have our own website. And we uniquely provide, don't we, Rick, the ability to see and hear us while we're doing the show. It's a simulcast. If people want to go to Blog Talk Radio and just listen, that's great. They can download, listen at their convenience. Or they can come to the show and do the same thing, download it later or watch us live and enjoy it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
so what do we got cooking for today, Bill?
Well, what we got cooking for today, three ways to structure trust for purposes of asset protection. Remember our last show, we talked a little bit about wills and how the need of a trust was important and how trusts don't typically protect you, but rather allow you to pass things on without the expense of probate court and without the public awareness that you'd have typically where a will is in court and it's probated. Trusts provide privacy. But here today, we're going to take it on a little bit of a different twist. We're going to talk about creditors and how you want to structure trusts to protect yourself and your heirs from creditors, because you could be, you know, you're a debtor, you owe money to somebody, right? You want to find out how that's going to all be handled. And I think I want to lead off by saying all asset protection planning is based on the following two premises. One, that creditors can generally reach any asset that's owned by a debtor. and two, that creditors cannot reach those assets that the debtor does not own. So if creditors can reach assets owned by a debtor, how do you formulate that protection? And is part of that formulation of protection potentially making sure that some of your assets, if not all, are owned by somebody else instead of you? So we're going to deal with that in three ways today. We're going to talk first of all about the fact that these goals of wanting to possess the enjoyment of your assets through ownership may cause you to also distance yourself from those assets to protect yourself from creditors. So how do you do that? How do you find that compatibility about, how do you enjoy those assets but protect them from creditors at the same time? So the first thing we're going to want to talk about is a spendthrift trust, S-P-E-N-D-T-H-R-I-F-T, a spendthrift trust. And this is the type of a trust that either limits or altogether prevents a beneficiary from being able to transfer or assign his or her interest in the income and principal of the trust. Let me give you an example. And I wrote this down, so forgive me if I'm going to read from it. Mr. Howell is worried that his wife will spend her entire inheritance on a shopping spree in Paris. So instead of giving her unfettered access to the trust on his death, his trust provides that the trustee shall make periodic distributions of cash to Mrs. Howell. Mrs. Howell is not given any power to invade the trust or anticipate her distributions. She has no power to transfer or assign her interest in the trust. So Mr. Howell's basically saying, hey, baby, here's what you're going to get every year from these multi-millions of dollars that I have. And where does that typically happen? Maybe when you get remarried, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to provide for your family from another marriage, sons, daughters. You don't want Mrs. Howell as the wife getting everything, right? Or you may just be concerned that Mrs. Howell may be a fair person, but she's such a spender that she's going to go wild and spend all your money. And then your trust is going to go into debt. And maybe some of that debt is going to be passed on to your heirs, maybe not. But here's the point. Mr. Howell controls, by way of what's called a spendthrift trust, he controls the distributions to Mrs. Howell and doesn't allow her to have it all at once. That's called a spendthrift provision. And it's one way to make sure that the income and principal that a beneficiary is going to get is only given to that beneficiary in so much dollars per year, right? What benefit does that have, Rick? Guess what? Old Mrs. Howell may have a lot of creditors who would love to get their hands on that trust money. But he's prevented her from getting her hands on only on the bulk of it. He has controlled the distribution of what can come to her and what can't. So Mrs. Howell better what? She better pay her bills religiously, and she better tend to her spending habits, or whatever she does get, she's not going to have anything left, is she?
No. So you're basically talking about a structured allowance that Mrs. Howell is going to get.
That's right. That's a good way to put it. That's called a spendthrift provision, and it prevents creditors from getting that money that you have and you want to pass on, with the exception of the portion that you're going to give to one beneficiary. And if that beneficiary's got creditors, that beneficiary is going to have to deal with it on her own, only according to the money that she's allowed to get by way of the trust, the spendthrift provision. The second area, Rick, interestingly enough, is called a discretionary trust. A trust is called discretionary when the trustee has discretion as to the timing, the amount, and the identity of the beneficiary in making distributions. There must not be any provisions that mandate a distribution. So how is this a little different, this discretionary trust? This allows the trustee to determine whether or not Mrs. Howell gets any money at all, depending on what she does or doesn't do. So this takes it a step further in a way, in that it empowers the trustee in a discretionary way to say, hey, this is what Mr. Howell wanted. If it's not followed, you're getting zip. You're getting zero. And if the beneficiary has no property rights because he or she isn't getting anything, then guess what? The creditor has no access to that money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So discretionary trusts are important. They're used a lot of times. Again, another good typical example would be where there's a remarriage, right? And you're concerned about the spending habits or even the good faith of your new spouse. You know, a lot of times this happens where an older man or an older woman will marry a younger man or a younger woman, right? And, you know, we've all heard the stories about that kind of stuff. But it could be just a typical regular marriage, too. But you're concerned about your spouse's habits. And you know that the creditors can invade this estate if she gets everything or he gets everything. So you want to take these precautions. The third area, Rick, I think that's very interesting is called the Domestic Asset Protection Trust, or DAP, D-A-P-T. And we've talked about this in a prior show. But here's now where you transfer your wealth to another individual or business entity who now owns this money or this property. And now that access can only be gained by a creditor if and only if that third party does something wrong, which is separately an individual from the money that is owed. So Mr. Howell has all these assets. He puts it in a domestic asset protection trust, which is an irrevocable trust. Creditors can't get to that if Mr. Howell owes money. The only way creditors could get to that money is if by some chance that third party who now owns the assets does business with those same creditors, which is unlikely, and now the creditors are coming after the trust. That typically is not going to happen, and that's the whole point of a DAP. You're going to be making provisions to make sure that there's not going to be any overlap there. These are very
so give us a real world example of a DAP. What would that look like?
Sure, and we can take it a step further and show you what a really great DAP would be. I own a mom and pop business with my wife, okay, and we each own 50% of the business, so we each create a DAP. We seed, that means we give away 20% of our business to the DAP, right? Mm-hmm. And then we sell the other 30% of the business to the DAP. We have an understanding that this business is continually making money, right? So now both 50% of my business is in my DAP and 50% of my wife's business is in her DAP. She makes me the beneficiary of her trust. I make her the beneficiary of my trust. Typically, in an irrevocable trust, you never get the property back. But in a DAP situation, if my wife dies, I now get that 50% of the business back. If I die, she gets the 50% of the business back. In the meantime, the 30% of the business that we sold to each of our respective DAPs, that's making money, right? And we have a loan. We have a lien on that for that DAP. So that DAP is now paying us interest on the loan by having financed it through the DAP. So with that 30% that we have sold to the DAP, we did it by way of a loan structuring scenario. So now that we're getting paid interest on the loan, right, we actually create a loan where there's a loan that the DAP is utilizing to where there's interest going to be paid for us to us on the loan. Okay, so each year, if we want to structure it that way, we're getting paid money from the DAP on the loan that we've created with the Domestic Asset Protection Trust. In addition to that, if this business is an LLC and I'm a manager of that LLC, I can collect income by way of being paid as the manager of the LLC running this business that the DAP now owns, right? Yeah. So now you've got domestic asset protection control over assets that you normally wouldn't have control over because they're in an irrevocable trust. You've got two different trusts operating where each spouse is now the beneficiary of that trust. And if one dies, 50% of the business comes back to you. And you've got a trust situation where it's going to be passed on in privacy and without the need for probate. So you've got all of those things working for you at the same time.
So in that situation, I mean, it sounds like a great scenario and to protect your business assets. Are you saying then if you do initiate ADAPT, is that accessible then by creditors or not?
No, it's not, because okay. ADAPT is owned by a third party. It's not you. So okay. your creditors can't come after you. So Wells Fargo is the trustee, let's say, mm-hmm. for your trust, and Wells Fargo is the trustee for your wife's trust. Wells Fargo didn't do anything wrong. Wells Fargo owns the property, right? But the beneficiary of that trust is me on my wife's trust and my wife on my trust. So Wells Fargo has the obligation at the time of my death to send my 50% back to my wife, right?
Yeah, right.
As the beneficiary of that trust, which normally wouldn't happen. So there's where you have the scenario where now the creditors can't come after Wells Fargo because Wells Fargo is not a debtor for those creditors. Mm-hmm. Wells Fargo doesn't owe them any money.
So in this situation with ADAPT, do you see business owners doing this with let's say a spouse that's maybe not even involved in the business, or would you say you see this more with someone, a spouse or a beneficiary who's involved in the business?
Well, in the scenario I gave you, it's a mom and pop business where you have two different trusts, right? Mm-hmm. But certainly you could make, if you own 100% of the business, you could make your spouse the beneficiary for 100%, but that presumes that you're going to die first, right? Otherwise, if you have it set up where you're both involved in the business, you got 50% going to each spouse depending on who dies first. Now, one of the two important last points I want to make on the show is, one, there may not always be, there are some court rulings that may not always uphold ADAPT, and that's much too complicated to get into here. So you have to try to create ADAPT that you believe will withstand in any conflict of law whereby you own property in another state. Will that state challenge your allowance to bring that property into your ADAPT? There's also called what's called the Good Faith and Credit Clause of the United States Constitution, where states are supposed to recognize other states' rights. But again, that's something you want to discuss. That's not for this show. That's a discussion you want to have with your attorney if and when you want to create ADAPT. The last point I want to make, Rick, is that ADAPT, the last of the three we talked about what's a spendthrift trust, a discretionary trust, and ADAPT. ADAPT is an irrevocable trust, and a spendthrift trust and a discretionary trust is a revocable trust. It can be made in a revocable form, meaning that you can revoke it at any time you want. So it's the ADAPT that provides you with the most protection. The discretionary trust and the spendthrift trust only provide you with protection from creditors that typically have to do with the beneficiaries that you've named in the trust. So they can't come after the beneficiaries and get your wealth.
All right. So I don't know if this is a silly question or what's kind of scenario that
– Well, let's find out.
Could be possible. Yeah, so we'll find out here in a second. So the question is, can the spendthrift or discretionary trust – be combined with ADAPT for some reason?
Sure. You can have, if you have a lawyer who's very creative, that lawyer can incorporate spendthrift provisions or discretionary provisions into the trust depending upon the nature of the beneficiary and the character of the beneficiary that you're dealing with. So that's why I say trust law gets very complicated when you start. So in other words, I'll give you a good, this is actually a good question, Rick, because people often confuse this. Let's say I just talked about a discretionary trust, right? And a spendthrift trust. Actually, what I'm talking about are provisions inside a trust, right? Whether it be irrevocable or revocable. So a spendthrift trust is really better termed a spendthrift provision. A discretionary trust is really better termed a discretionary provision, right? Whereas adapt is a uniquely organized kind of a trust, a domestic asset protection trust in and of itself, but it's an irrevocable trust because you've got revocable and irrevocable. And then underneath those, you have branches of trusts, right? And then from there, you have different provisions of trust. So that's why you have to speak to an attorney. I gave you the basics of the really powerful protections you can have today. But if you want to get into the nuances and whether they're called trusts or provisions or how the terms are changed, used interchangeably, that's really for a lawyer to know, not for you. You just really need to understand what the trust is going to do for you by talking to your lawyer.
Right. So as a creditor, let me just play devil's advocate here. It seems like this was a loophole to keep them out of the process.
Well, you know, first of all, you got to remember not everybody does these trusts, which they should. Not everybody has these provisions in, which they should, because there's a lot of DIY guys and gals today. But aside from that, it's really not a loophole because it doesn't say that the creditors aren't entitled to money. You're just trying to cut down on the amount of money that the person has that the creditors can access. So if my wife is a free spender, I want to make sure that when I'm gone, whatever she may have accumulated in terms of debt, or my son or my granddaughter or whoever, is not going to be my money that I've passed on is not going to be wasted away, because you're going to limit the access of what this person has. Doesn't mean the creditor isn't owed that money or can't have access to that money, but it's like the old saying, you can't get what you don't pay for, or can't get what you don't ask for. I'm sorry. The you can't get blood from a rock, right? A debtor can't pay a creditor money that he or she doesn't have. Now, that creditor can still come after you, but that creditor is going to be limited to the access of that debtor, whatever that debtor has, or the debtor may choose to file bankruptcy. Who knows? So there's a lot of interplay here, a lot of moving parts, and that's why you have to particularize this, as I like to say, to your situation by seeing a lawyer and setting it up and making sure you've covered all the bases.
This was a great show. I mean, we talked a little bit about some of these areas in the past, but this hopefully clears things up specifically as to asset protection and three ways to structure your trust. It can be a very complex situation for an individual when they're looking at something like this. And we always try and discourage the DIY type of process out there. And that's why, we want to offer this information to our viewers out there to really reach out and talk to an expert like Bill, who's well-versed in business law like this. So if you do have a question out there in how to structure this in your particular situation, please reach out to Bill. And Bill, why don't you share your information so our viewers know how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, thanks, Rick. WFBLegalConsulting.com. You can also send me an email, bill@WFBLegalConsulting.com. Phone numbers, both 949 area code. One is 413-6535. The other is 698-6222. And of course, I'm on social media. All you got to do is Google WFB Legal Consulting Incorporated, and I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, as well as Google Plus. So, these are the safety net here, Rick, in closing, is to say that no DIY person can do this. I mean, a really educated one, a highly educated one, might take a stab at it. But this overlaps trust law, it overlaps asset protection, it overlaps business owners and entrepreneurs and what they need to do, and because a lot of times business assets are part of this scenario, and interplays with family law and different marriage, issues. It really involves a complex set of tools that need to be implemented in the right way. I mean, you wouldn't use a hammer to put in a screw, right, without a screwdriver. So So you got to be aware of that, and this is just too important to be able to handle on your own in most cases. And of course, the other thing is, Rick, big businesses and people with a lot of money who want this asset protection, oftentimes they can afford this kind of thing. You know, they can go out there and say, give me whatever I need. You can see me, and I'll make it affordable for you. I'm not saying it's cheap, but I can make it affordable for you. Great. So thanks, Rick. I appreciate the time to be able to do this show, and I want to tell all our viewers that we will be back next week with another show, same time, same place, more free information, folks. So I want to wish you a prosperous and wealthy week ahead.
All right. Well, thanks again, Bill. A great show, and we look forward to seeing everyone again next week at 10 a.m. on Tuesday here on the Bottled Business Sense Show. Take care, everyone.
Take care, everybody.